Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is the epistle reading we heard earlier, but especially this portion of that reading. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. You know, the church is often criticized for not giving practical solutions or advice to daily problems. Those outside the church especially see us as not being in touch with the real world, that we are too idealistic or too theological to be of much use. They would say, we don't have a realistic view of life. Of course, we shouldn't be surprised by talk like this from those outside the church. If you don't have faith, it's hard, in fact, impossible to consider or understand spiritual answers to the issues of life as they know it. People like this need our prayers more than anything because, as Paul says and declares in his second letter to the Corinthians, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. However, we should be concerned when those inside the church feel that the answers to life that the Bible offers are of little practical value. And we may all struggle with this at one time or another. It can be difficult to take the Lord at His word or listen to His answers for our problems because He often directs us to do things that we really don't want to do. Forgive that person who did that thing to me? You gotta be kidding. Sadly, when we have a problem, we normally also have a solution in mind as we take it to God. All too often we pray to God, Thy will be changed, rather than Thy will be done. For example, think about living the life of faith. We know that the Lord desires that we live lives that are pleasing to Him. And we also know that we often fail to live as He desires. Our faith reminds us that no one can live a perfect life, and that the Lord graciously forgives us for our failures for the sake of Jesus Christ. But we also know that it is possible for us to do better. In Deuteronomy we read, For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. Deuteronomy 30. But it certainly feels far off, like way out of reach. So what's the answer? How do we live our lives in such a way that it demonstrates our faith and love for God? How can we improve our lives? The obvious solution seems to be just to get out there and try harder. If you want something bad enough, then work harder at it and you will eventually get it. So, we go to the Lord and pray, Lord, help me to be a better person. Help me to be more loving and kind and show forth the fruits of your Spirit in my life because I know that you desire this of me. Then, we go out that day with new resolve. And we might be a little bit better for a little while, but soon we fall into the same old patterns. And when we catch ourselves doing those things we are trying so hard not to do, we feel guilty because we haven't tried hard enough, put in the effort that we should. And if the guilt gets bad enough, we finally give up. We know the fault doesn't lie with God, so maybe we simply can't be better. Maybe we're just stuck the way we are. But if we go to our text, we see God's answer to our problem. The epistle gives us the answer for the power of right living. The church at Colossae had a problem very similar to ours. As far as we know, Paul never personally visited that congregation. He knew of it through Epaphras, one of the church's leaders, who had sought Paul out for help. So Paul sent this letter, since he couldn't go himself. The Colossians had heard the gospel and responded with faith, but had been swayed by some other teachers who came with the message that they would give them a fuller understanding of the gospel. They would help the people live better by what they taught. So Paul introduces his letter to them by describing real power that would enable them to live right. And surprisingly, the Colossians had the power at their disposal already. Paul begins by telling them that he thanks God for and prays on behalf of the Colossian Christians. He praises them for the faith and love they have for God and their fellow saints. The Colossians are living the lives which God desires for them. They are demonstrating faith in Him and love for, for those around Him. And Paul reminds them that these things are happening because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. Then he goes on to say that his prayer for them is that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Colossians 1. There's the answer to the problem, and to ours as well. The power for right living is to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. If we want to be strengthened to do God's will, we have to be fully steeped in the knowledge of that will. And that only comes through His Word. As Paul declares in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1. We go to God and we say, Lord, I need more faith in you and the ability to love those around me better. That's good. That's what Jesus commended the expert in the law for wanting faith toward God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then love towards others. Love your neighbor as yourself. It isn't a matter of getting out there and trying harder and harder to be better. That's what seems logical, and it's the way the world tells us how to succeed. But God's answer, as impractical as it may seem, is simply to feed your spirit. Get to know me. Study my word, and your life will conform to my will. You've probably heard of this illustration before, but it's rather good because it seems so applicable here. There was a man in Alaska who had two dogs, a white dog and a black dog. He would bring them into town once a month, and the men in town would place bets on which of the dogs was the strongest by how much weight they could drag on a dog sled. One month, the white dog might win, and The next one month, the black dog would win. But no matter which dog won, the owner of the dogs always won his bets. Well, one day someone asked him how he always seemed to know which dog would win. He says, it's very simple. The week before I come to town, I feed one dog very well, but the other dog I don't. The dog who wins is always the one who is fed the most. I believe the same applies to our lives. If we do not feed our spirits the spiritual nourishment that it needs through the word and sacraments, we cannot expect to be strong, nor can we expect to have the strength to live lives which are pleasing to God. It's simple logic. If we feed upon the word of life, we will have the strength to face the daily battles which confront our lives. Paul emphasizes that when he says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Get your mind and heart thinking like God's by getting into His Word. He gives His advice again to Titus when he goes through a beautiful explanation of the gospel, describing how God saved us from our sins and our past lives of selfishness and passions. He did this out of purely His great love and His grace. Then he tells Titus, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Number two, it is focusing upon God's love found in His Word and grounded on His promises of mercy to us that empowers and enables us to live for Him. God's Word is very important to us, especially as Missouri Synod Lutherans, because for the past 180 years, we have stood firmly on the truth that God's Word is the only thing we can trust as we live on this side of heaven. It's the Word, the defense of that Word, and on how important God's Word is for our daily lives that we have fought for. We have been considered out of touch by the state of today's church in denominations that have strayed from the authority of Scripture. We sort of talked about in Bible class today. It proves that we must, at all costs, defend and cling to God's Word as the only source of Christian teaching. Does it sometimes seem that the church is impractical for life in our world? Maybe. But that's because we look at the wisdom of God through human eyes. But as long as we hold truth to His Word, as long as we turn to God for guidance, we are truly fed and nourished. And as we are fed and nourished, we will grow strong and be able to live for Him. Amen.